The reason you don't want to be inauthentic and people please in that situation is because it's going to exhaust you. So the question is like, how can I stay authentic to myself and still feel safe without over depleting myself by tending and people pleasing and being inauthentic to all these people? Like, we don't just not want to be inauthentic because it's bad. We don't want to be inauthentic because it's exhausting to us. When we are inauthentic, it totally depletes us like nothing else.
Hello and welcome to the Magic of Transformation podcast. I am your host, Stephanie Zeller. Wow, this episode is such a fucking gem. I can't wait to share this episode with you. I really think if you pushed play on today's episode, you are 100% meant to be here. There is something in this episode for you, I promise you. Be sure to listen to the whole thing because you never know exactly where in the episode you're going to hear that thing that's really going to give you that shift. So in today's episode, I'm sharing with you a clip from a group coaching call of mine for my program, Your Life's Work. Your Life's Work is a program to help you find really deep, lasting, sustainable excitement, joy, and passion for your job in the world. So if you are not waking up every single morning super excited to go to work, then this course is for you. I think sometimes we think that that is actually impossible to wake up every single day excited to go to work. I mean, I know in my job like 7, 8 years ago, I was like, yeah, I like most days and it's impossible to love every day. That's just completely unattainable. I'm here to tell you it's not. It is not. And we really need to reframe what a career can and should be. A career should light us up. It should help us feel seen in the world. It should be using all of our most amazing gifts. It should make us a lot of money. It should be like literally the most joyful thing that you do in your life. And that's what Your Life's Work helps you do. It helps you make your career your most joyful thing, one of your most joyful things that you do in your entire life. I mean, after all, how many hours a week are you working? Shouldn't it be full of joy? That's what this course will do for you. So in Your Life's Work, we have group coaching calls every single month, multiple calls, and they last a couple of hours. And I'm just sharing this little clip with you today. And I just love sharing these group coaching call clips with you because I think it helps you to see just how powerful, first of all, the course is, but it also gives you a little insight and some tools and some lessons that will hopefully shift things for you too. As you're listening, if somebody pops into your head, be sure to pass this episode along to them. When people just like pop into our heads when we're listening to episodes, that is our intuition giving us a red flag of, hey, this person could use this episode. So follow that, trust yourself. Even if you have no idea what's going on with this person, just share with them like, hey, you just popped into my head as I was listening to this episode. Maybe it would mean something to you. I can't tell you how many times people have sent me episodes where they did just that. And those episodes have been life-changing for me. So be sure to trust yourself and trust your intuition and forward this episode along to whoever your intuition guides you to. And last, I am doing a drawing at the end of September of 2024 for some lucky person to win a one-on-one magic session with me. All you have to do to win is leave a 5-star review along with a written review on Apple. You can find a link for how to do that in the show notes. But if you don't listen on Apple, I would just love for you to leave a 5-star review for me. It makes me feel so good. Thank you so much for doing that. Thank you so much for being here. Be sure to subscribe so that you catch all future episodes and let me know how this episode landed with you. I'm truly like, I'm out of my mind excited to share this little gem with you. And I really so appreciate you. Thank you for being here. Without further ado, let's dive in.
Yes. And the other thing I want to say about boundaries is we have a hard time setting boundaries usually because obviously in childhood we were shown that we can't and that we would get in trouble if we set a boundary. So we learned in order to be safe and to feel good and receive love and praise from our caretakers that we can't have boundaries and that we have to honor what other people say that we should do and what we think other people want us to do. And it can be really, like you said, it can be really scary at first when we first start setting boundaries because it's triggering that small child in us that's saying, but if we set this boundary, we're going to be rejected and we're not going to be safe. And so one thing I want to say about that is it helps to start setting really small boundaries. Like start really small so that you're not flooding your nervous system and overwhelming yourself every single day with fear and panic, you know, of, oh my God, I set this boundary today and now this person's going to hate me or this terrible thing's going to happen. Like start really small and you can titrate up. Like when you start small and then your nervous system and your subconscious sees that you're safe and that actually you feel better and you were able to preserve all of this energy and that it served you and probably even the person that you set a boundary with, then you can start taking bigger and bigger and bigger leaps. And even in certain situations where it would be really hard for you at this juncture to make a boundary, you can make a small boundary in those situations. So for instance, if your family invites you on like a weekend excursion and you know deep down you really don't want to go, but you're not in a place where you can say that in your power and it just scares the shit out of you to do that, what you could do is you could say, yes, I can come, but this day I won't be able to go to dinner. And you can set more time aside for yourself. So it's like thinking, okay, how can I incrementally set boundaries here to protect myself and start just easing myself into feeling comfortable with boundaries? And it really does, boundaries is an amazing thing because when you first start setting boundaries, it feels really disorienting. I remember when I first started setting boundaries, I was terrified all the time and I had just panic. And what would often end up happening was the panic would be so uncomfortable that I would then like remove the boundary because it then I would feel like, oh, I'll feel better if I remove this boundary because then I won't feel panic, right? So like what I'm saying is I feel like, oh, I need to set a boundary, but then I would have so much panic around setting the boundary that the panic would outweigh the desire to set the boundary. So I wouldn't set it or I would set it and then remove it. But then over time, the just energetic exhaustion of not setting boundaries started outweighing the panic. So the amazing thing that happens when you start setting small boundaries incrementally is you start to see how beneficial they are and how actually people will respect your boundaries if you set them. And then you never go back because it would be insane to go back. Like, it's like you start being able to see how to set them. It really is. Have you guys ever gone fly fishing? When I first went fly fishing, I've only gone like once or twice, but when I first went, I went with like an instructor and he said, okay, look down and you're looking in the water. And he's like, can you see the fish? And I was looking at the water and I was like, I can't see any fish. I'm just looking at the water. I can't see the fish. I don't know. And everyone else around me could see the fish. And they're like, look, no, look, they're right there. And I could just see the flowing water. I could see the fish in the water. And then all of a sudden, like, boom, I could see the fish. And I was like, oh my gosh, how did I not see that? That's what boundaries feels like to me now. You start to set them and then it's just this mind-blowing thing of how did I not see how to set that boundary? That is so crazy. How was I letting all these people walk all over me all the time? How was I constantly overgiving of my energy and depleting myself all the time and thinking that that was the right thing to do? And the last thing I want to say about boundaries is setting a boundary in your power and not in a power struggle. I think part of the reason we're afraid to set boundaries is because we think it's going to be a power struggle because in the past, that's what it's been. But if you can shift into a place of knowing why you're setting the boundary and feeling into your own power about it and being at ease with it, then setting boundaries are never a power struggle. And that's a totally different energy because if you ever try to set a boundary with someone and you're feeling not in your power about it and you're feeling really scared about it and you're anticipating somebody not honoring your boundary or fighting back, then you're probably going to show up in power struggle energy. And people sniff that out like first thing. And then you have a power struggle like 100% of the time.
Stephanie, what did you call it? Was it like a energetic coherence?
Yeah. Energetic coherence or energetic congruence. But it's about, yeah, people will feel into your energy of, am I in power or am I afraid right now? Or am I trying to, because when we're in a power struggle, in a way, we're trying to manipulate or dominate the other person or bend them to our will, right? Even if ultimately you're doing it for your own self-worth and you're doing it out of love for yourself, if you're not in a place of personal power when you do it, it's still going to come off as I'm manipulating you, and people are going to feel that and they're immediately going to fight back. And then they won't even, a lot of times, like, they won't even know why they're fighting back. Maybe they want to do what you ultimately want to do, but if you have an energy of I'm trying to dominate you in any way, then that's what they're going to fight against. So the best place to come from when you're setting a boundary is from kind of a calm ease of a boundary is ultimately a non-negotiable. So a boundary is just a, this is what I'm going to do kind of energy. This is what I need. This is what I'm going to do. And you're just letting the other person know. And if you are struggling, because this is all well and good, right? It's like, okay, so be it calm, be at peace when I'm setting a boundary. But then what if I can't do that? What if I'm afraid? What if I'm triggered? What if I fear what's going to happen? First of all, you can be really creative about how you set boundaries. You can sometimes set boundaries through text. Something that I've done with, like when I've set boundaries with my parents around like trips or something that I know that they're going to get triggered by that I have a no to, I will actually send them a video of me being like, hey, just wanted to let you guys know I'm not going to be able to do this. I am going to be able to do this. And that's it. Like, I'll just send it to them. And what I'm doing there is, first of all, I do make sure that I'm in like a calm energy and a non-negotiable energy. So I'm not saying, hey, oh my God, I feel so bad about this. Maybe sometimes I wish I could do it. And I'll say that. I'll say, I wish I could do this, but I just can't. This has come up and this is the way it's going to be. You know, I'm not, again, there's no force here. I'm just saying it. But when I send them the video, it gives them space to digest without having to do it right in front of me. So I'm kind of honoring their space too. Then I'm kind of like, hey, just so you know this. And texting does the same thing. Emailing can do the same thing. The problem with texting and emailing, though, I'll say, is like a lot of times tone can be misunderstood. And that's why I love to send videos. Just a quick video, like a minute or two, or sometimes a voice memo, so that my tone can't be misunderstood. So that's a creative way you can do it. But the other thing is thinking of boundaries in these two ways. One is I'm not trying to force or coerce or make this person do something they don't want to do. I'm just simply stating what my needs are and what my non-negotiable is. And that's all I'm stating right now. It's like, this is how it is for me. But two, thinking of boundaries as the reason I'm saying no to this is because there's a bigger yes to something else. I have a bigger yes to something else. So if I say no to dinner, it's because I have a bigger yes to the sort of self-care I can provide for myself when I stay home. So always thinking about what is my bigger yes, because that's kind of a hack. Like if you can show up and this is a no, but in your energy, you know that the reason you're saying no is because you're saying a bigger yes to something else. Then it's like this weird energetic shift where your energy is now in a yes energy and an open energy and a loving energy, because you're thinking about what your bigger yes is while you're sharing with someone else what your no is. Does that make sense? And this also can be in relationships too. Like if you're like, I don't want my partner to talk to me that way, it's because your bigger yes is I want a really mutually respectful, loving relationship. And I want to feel desire for one another. So the reason I'm saying, hey, no, I don't want you to talk to me that way is because I want something bigger and I want more of their authentic self and I want more of their love. And so if you can just keep that in mind, and sometimes just even journaling about it, like this is a no because my bigger yes is this, really meditate on the bigger yes and then go set your boundary. And then you'll kind of be, that will shift your energy. You will be in a more yes, open, yummy energy when you're setting your no boundary versus focusing on the no and focusing on, oh my God, what are they going to think? And all of that fear and contraction. Does that make sense? Are there any other questions about boundaries? A lot of you guys made notes about boundaries in your report.
I feel like it's increasingly tough with a people-pleasing persona to set boundaries. It's more of just a statement, not a question. I just battle with it an insane amount throughout so many facets of my life. So
yes,
I think starting small with boundaries is huge, and I have done it in the past. Even when I was setting boundaries, I didn't really know they were boundaries. I'm like, I want to do this because it's going to make me feel better later. It's been hard digesting all this stuff, wanting to help people and getting some fulfillment from that.
Well, something mentioned in his progress report, and I love talking about this. I'm so glad you mentioned this, is he said that he had a session with Tilo, and Tilo shared with him how when you're in people-pleasing energy, a lot of times what you're doing is you're actually manipulating other people. And when you can really, really take that in, that people-pleasing is actually manipulation, it can be really shocking, because as a people-pleaser, you think you're sort of this benevolent force that is just trying to make people feel good all the time. But the truth is like 10 layers deep. What you're really doing is you're trying to keep yourself safe, and you're trying to make yourself feel good. It's more of a safety issue than a feeling good issue. So when we people please, it's because a part of us in that situation doesn't feel safe. So we start manipulating people in the situation so that we stay safe. But this is why people pleasing never feels authentic to other people. Like most people, especially if they're more emotionally mature, they can feel people pleasing energy and it doesn't feel good to them. And the reason it doesn't feel good is because you're actually not connecting authentically with that person. What you're doing is you're trying to manipulate that person so that you feel safe. So the reason Tilo knows a lot about this is because he's struggled a lot with people pleasing and done so much work on it and overcome a lot of it. And it's something that he and I have worked with in our relationship. For instance, something that would happen is I would get upset and he would start kind of these behaviors of trying to make me happy, or like laughing or making a joke or all sorts of little tactics that he had to change my mood. Because he ultimately wasn't feeling safe. But to me, that felt like nails on a chalkboard. I was like, what are you doing? You're not holding any space for me to experience this emotion. This is an authentic emotion that's coming up in me. What I want to do is have a real conversation with you and feel this emotion. But to him, it was so uncomfortable. And so it took, first of all, he didn't even know he was doing that. He didn't even know he was trying to manipulate. And in his mind, he's like, I'm just trying to make you feel better. Because that's what we think we're doing as people pleasers. But ultimately, he wasn't trying to make me feel better. He was trying to make him feel better. What would have made me feel better was an authentic connection. 100% of the time, what people want from you is authentic connection. They actually don't want you to people please them. If they knew what was on the table, if they knew they would get you authentically from a heart-centered place, listening to them, really holding space for them, connecting with them in an authentic way, they would want that 100% of the time over you just people pleasing. So it's just a really interesting mindset shift to think about. And that's codependency too, because codependency a lot of times is people pleasing, but it's actually manipulation. So when you're in a situation where you feel tempted to people please, if you really let it sink in, like, but I'm not actually pleasing you when I'm manipulating them, and then allow yourself to experiment with different ways of handling those situations, of being in those situations, of listening to them, maybe authentically, opening up and just waiting to see what happens.
One thing, I 100% agree with the manipulating and so on and so forth. I think when you're in a relationship or in a team or in life with people that are like emotionally mature to a high degree, being authentic with them, et cetera, that is effective. But at the same time, like, I feel like traditionally there's maybe an emotionally immature crowd that would gravitate towards someone being like, oh, you always know how to say the right thing, or you're always there for me when I need a shoulder to cry on.
Well, inauthentic people vibe with inauthentic people.
Right.
So if you're being inauthentic, you're going to attract inauthentic people, and they're going to like your inauthenticity because they're inauthentic too.
Right.
So I guess the question is, like, is that where you want to vibe? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a way to be authentic with inauthentic people or emotionally immature people. The way to do that is, first of all, just follow your intuition and just be open with them. You can speak truth to them without being like a caretaker or asking them to open up and share all their shit with you.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a way to be authentic with people.
Okay. No, that makes sense.
You know, there's never a situation where inauthenticity is preferred. If you're doing that, it's because you feel unsafe. And it wouldn't surprise me that you feel unsafe around a bunch of inauthentic, emotionally immature people.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you're probably going to feel the most unsafe. So I think the reason you don't want to be inauthentic and people please in that situation is because it's going to exhaust you.
Yeah.
So the question is like, how can I stay authentic to myself and still feel safe without over depleting myself by tending and people pleasing and being inauthentic to all these people? Like, we don't just not want to be inauthentic because it's bad. We don't want to be inauthentic because it's exhausting to us. When we are inauthentic, it totally fatigues. It like depletes us like nothing else.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a good point. I've been feeling pretty depleted for a couple of years.
Yeah. So that's where some really great experimentation can come in, because I think maybe part of what's happening here is you're thinking, well, authenticity means being really open, and that it doesn't necessarily mean that. You can be authentic with boundaries. So it doesn't mean being really emotionally vulnerable. It just means being your true self, which means not people pleasing everyone and not placating everyone, because that's wearing you out.
At least in the lower frequencies. I really like the frequency stuff as well.
Well, in the high frequency of advising people or taking care of them, you're being authentic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that's different. That gives you energy. And so that's actually like a good gauge for how authentic am I being, you know, or am I caretaking? Because you can also be authentic and caretake, but do it with the wrong person. That's just like an energy vampire and sucking all of that out of you. So in every situation you're interacting with someone, just ask yourself afterwards, am I more tired or do I feel energized? If you're tired, then something was off in that exchange. It was either maybe you were being authentic, but you were just giving too much of your energy away without reciprocity from that person, or you were being inauthentic and people-pleasing. Either way, there's something there for you to change so that you don't stay so depleted next time you interact with that person.
Got it. Nice.
Who wants to go next?
So yeah, my conversation with Tilo was super fun and really interesting. And when he said that about like the manipulation side of it, it was like, oh my God, no wonder it's so exhausting and depleting. He's like, you strike me as a very charming person. And I was like, I am charming. And he was like, no, it's exhausting you. And now once we got to talking, I kind of learned like this people pleasing part of me at a low frequency is something where I'm in real time scanning the conversation to find out ways where am I feeling unsafe yet? Am I unsafe yet? Am I unsafe yet? Okay, now I feel unsafe. Let me say something to make the other person like me and take their guard down. And like I'm real time observing this conversation and pivoting, and that is tiring. And the other big realization was the other persona that I tend to vibe out in low frequency is this like comedian persona, where it's like I'm scanning the conversation. It's kind of like I do when I'm people please, but I'm doing it in a way of like, okay, when's an opportunity to be funny? When's an opportunity to be funny? And I'll see if the joke lands, because I think in a way it's still people pleasing in a sense of like, let me get their guard to come down. I told myself going into this last weekend at a friend's lake house, I was like, okay, you're with two other couples and you kind of know them, but not well. And you're going to be spending a lot of time together. And they're pretty authentic people. And it's your time to figure out, are you going to exhaust yourself or are you going to live your, you know, authentic self and try to be just a more authentic version of you? And I, to make it short, I was very successful this weekend in a sense of like just relaxing and not scanning the conversation. And you know how not exhaustive that was? I was so energized. I found myself asking them questions where I really don't. I just kind of listen, and I was asking questions and engaging in meaningful conversation and solidifying meaningful friendships. And it was just nice. It was nice to be like part of this little group of friends that I just recently met. And it was just, wow, if I could live like that daily, think about like the possibilities, like, you know what I mean? And so I think the next thing would just be working on it with like work. Like, you know, you said people who are like energy vampires and they suck all your energy out. And it's like patients of mine are like that. And it's like, why am I letting it happen? Is because there's this part of me that wants to manipulate and put our conversation on a trajectory that ends up with them absolutely loving me no matter what, so I feel safe. And that's it. That's where I get home and I'm like, I am so fucking roasted. That's why. So it was good. This is a really, really big aha module for me.
Yeah. And it's interesting because when you start setting more boundaries at work, or you don't engage as much with the kind of energy vampire type of patient, you will start to attract a new kind of patient. Like, you will get fewer and fewer of those kinds of patients. And you may lose some because, I mean, you know, as a previous prosthodontist, I know that a lot of times when people come in with a dental problem, they actually have an emotional psychological problem. So if you stop treating their emotional problem and you don't engage with them in terms of like making sure they're okay and they like you, they may go find somebody else, which you probably want. Ultimately, wouldn't you rather have patients that aren't looking to you for as much emotional support?
Oh my gosh. When I have this percentage of patients that I love and like, it's a more authentic connection.
Yeah.
They don't want to leave the office. I don't want them to leave the office. We're just talking and having a good time. And like, I love that.
Yeah.
But it's something that I do want to start implementing.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much.
I think as everyone is sharing, I'm coming to realizations in real time. And I think one of the really draining things that I do is listen. I think I let people unload a lot of their shit onto me.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that I've always gotten a lot of praise and affection for. Like, people tell me all the time, I'm a great listener. But a lot of the time, it does drain me. And so I guess I have a question around setting boundaries with listening.
Yeah. So generally, if I feel like personally somebody is unloading on me and it's not something that's feeling authentically aligned for me to receive, if I'm feeling like, whoa, there's not a relationship established here where there's like a healthy reciprocity, right? And this happens with me all the time because, I mean, people will meet me and just start telling me like their biggest traumas within like 5 minutes. And it's like word vomit. Yeah. They'll be like, I don't know why I'm telling you this. Oh my God. and I just like draw it out of people. Like,
same.
And you know, sometimes, well, first of all, that happens less because I'm just, who I engage with now is honestly fewer people in that way. And sometimes the pendulum has swung too far the other way. Like, sometimes I feel like my boundaries are too strong. And that's something that I'm presently working on, is how to be a little bit more open now. instead of having this kind of like really firm, I mean, it's like, whoa, you know, but I can always feel in the moment, like if it feels right to me. I mean, just feeling into your body, like, does it feel right for me right now to receive this from this person? If it doesn't, there's super easy ways to shut that down. I mean, essentially like just kind of interjecting with something that closes the conversation, or not offering anything other than, I hope you're getting support with that, or I hope you can work that out, or wow, that sounds like a lot, and then shifting the conversation. And people will, a lot of times, like, I don't even think people realize that you're kind of shifting it. So it's not like they're feeling hurt, like, oh, she doesn't want to listen to me. They will just kind of intuitively have a sense of, oh, this person isn't here for me to dump on right now.
That's good.
The other thing is, it's hugely energetic. And this is the thing. I was a caretaker when I was growing up, and I was always in a hypervigilant state, and I was always there for everyone to dump on, right? And so, like, talk about low, high frequency. in what I do now, it's in my high frequency. I'm here with all of you. I'm here with other people doing the other things that I do. And that's a great gift, right? People immediately feel a sense of, oh, I can tell this person whatever. And then I'm able to listen. I'm able to give feedback, all of that. In the low frequency, what that looked like for me was I had this constant energetic of, this is how I have value. This is how I feel seen. This is how I have worth in the world. So I'm going to essentially always be in this energetic of, I'm open to helping whoever, because that's how I know I'm valuable.
Oh my God, this is exactly me.
For me, I have to say that was one of the more insidious things, because it would, even when I would start to notice the more obvious situations of like the friends or the family members that were just constantly dumping on me, but never offering anything in return. They were just always like the dump, like the trauma dumpers, right? And I was just holding it. Even when I would start to set boundaries with them, I started seeing how I was doing it in more and more and more subtle ways. Like for instance, when I started this business, for a long time, I was like way over delivering with people. I was like checking in with people all the time. And I work with top performers, and honestly, they didn't even want that. They were like, they were like not even responding to me. And then I would get resentful because I was like, I'm going out of my way to help you and you're not even responding to me. And it's because they didn't want it. And it took me a while to realize, oh, actually what I'm doing is, for some reason in my life in this moment, I'm feeling some low self-worth. So I'm compensating by overperforming with my coaching clients and all of a sudden reaching out to them and offering them extra support because I just need to feel worthy in this moment. So then once I started catching that and being like, wait, okay, if I'm reaching out, and I would do it with people outside of my coaching practice as well, like family members or friends or whoever, just like, you know, how can I show up for somebody right now? Totally unconscious. Again, like had no clue that's what I was doing. But what cued me into that I was doing it is I would start to get resentful.
Yes.
Or I would be very depleted. But resentment was huge for me. So when I would start to feel resentful, I would be like, whoa, okay, where am I overdoing it? Like, where am I looking for a sense of self-worth by caretaking or by trying to show up for somebody or by trying to, you know, change their life in some way. So, you know, like I said, at first it was more obvious things. Like I would just start to spot out the people that were really depleting me. And then I would start to set boundaries with them. And one way I would do this is like, if they called and they were like, hey, I really need to talk to you. I would say, hey, I don't have the bandwidth right now. Or, hey, I don't feel like I can show up for you in the way that I want to right now. You know, hopefully there's somebody else that you can reach out to for support. Or sometimes if it was somebody that was just all the time, I would say like, hey, I'm kind of taking some time for myself right now, doing a lot of personal work. And as part of that, I'm making a rule for myself to just focus on me and not spend so much time, you know, word it however you want, but it's like, I'm really going inward. I'm just focusing on me right now. I'll message you when I come up for air. Or sometimes it would have to be just honestly, real honest conversations of like, I feel like you want something from me that I can't give you anymore. And I honestly think maybe you would be better supported by a therapist. You know what I'm saying?
I'm like everyone's therapist, and people actually say to me, I don't think I need therapy. I can just speak to you.
Right.
And I'm like, that's not good.
It's one thing if you're being paid, right? I mean, if you want to start getting paid for it, maybe that's something you can think about.
No.
Okay. Well, then if you know right away, like, that's not what I want to do, then this is like some serious boundary work.
Yeah. And I'm actually only realizing this like right now as everyone's talking about their thing. I'm like, wait, so what is the one thing that I do for people to like me that comes up the most? And yeah, I think it's listening. And I do know this, that it drains me. And I actually have started setting boundaries with people that I'm close with, and they have actually responded really well.
Yeah.
Which I was quite surprised at, but
yes. And this is the thing, like someone actually wrote this in their progress report that they're starting to see that boundaries can actually be a sign of wisdom, experience, and actually like finesse.
Yeah.
That like, when you think about someone that has really strong boundaries, if you know anyone like that in your life, there can actually be something kind of interesting and sexy about it.
For sure.
This is something that Tilo talks about with me all the time. He's like, I love how boundaried you are. Like, it's crazy. But I don't have an issue with people getting angry with me when I set boundaries. I mean, not now. I did in the beginning when I was learning how to set boundaries because I was very sloppy and clumsy with it and I didn't really know how to do it. And I often did it in a very highly emotional state. And, you know, it takes time. You have to practice, right? Like sometimes you're going to, it's going to be messy and that's okay. And that's how you learn. But yeah, I think for you, maybe just having like this, hey, I have a rule for myself now for the next 5 months. I'm not going to offer advice or be anyone's like personal therapist. And I'm just doing that because I need to focus on me. And I think that would be a super interesting experiment for you because what is going to inevitably happen is you're going to have moments where you want to, because that's how you get your worth. And you're going to have to tangle with that. Like you're going to have to move into that and feel into that. Like what, like what's coming up here. And that's when you do reprogramming and you start to build a foundation of self-worth. And then you want to do it less and less and less. And then you can choose and energetically open to people when it feels right. And it feels life-giving. And, you know, something I do now, like with family members, for instance, I used to listen to them all the time. And then I would kind of give them my intuitive advice or, you know, give them like a mindset shift, you know, like help them see it from another perspective. And now I would say at least 60, 70% of the time, I just listen and I don't offer anything back. And usually what happens when I do that is they talk for less time. So it drains me less because I'm just nodding and just listening to them. And they end up trailing off relatively quickly because there's not a back and forth.
This is good. And I actually realized with doing the module how prevalent it was at work. I didn't realize how much I was doing it with people at work. And I was away for a little bit and apparently it was a shitstorm at work. And one of the dentists was just like full dumping on me about like how fucked it was and all this stuff. And I was like, this is not nice in my head. And I was like, she has been doing this to me for years. And this is the only time, for the first time, that I've realized I actually don't like this and I don't need to engage and make her feel better.
Yes.
And I was like, wow, how did I not realize that I was just letting people do this like nonstop?
With someone like that, that's kind of volatile and doing that all the time. A way that I would respond to someone like that is, wow. Okay, well, I'm going to go work on this and just walk away.
That's what I did. I was like, hey, I got to run. I'm going. Sounds like it was fucked. I'm back now. Everything will be fine.
Yes. And the funny thing I've also noticed about those people that always dump on everybody is like a lot of times when you cut them off or you interject or you say, hey, I don't have time right now to listen to this. I have to go do this or whatever. They're usually the ones that are hurt the least because I think people are doing it to them all the time.
Yes.
And so it's like, they're the ones that you can actually do that the most with. Just like cut them off and walk away and they're not going to be hurt by it.
No, she wasn't.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, that was probably a lot. Okay, bye. Yeah. And then my other one that was actually bigger than I realized was the achiever and like how much self-worth was tied to achievement. And like, I think how much that was draining me in like always having to achieve and do the next thing, like for my self-worth and not letting myself just rest and be.
Yes, that's probably everyone that takes your life's work, honestly.
We're all nodding. So work on that.
Awesome. Thank you for tuning in to this behind the scenes group coaching call episode. This group coaching call is from my program, Your Life's Work, which is a 10-month program to help you cultivate a really juicy, joyful, purpose-driven career. If you want to find more sustainable joy in your career without having to chase one success or achievement after another, you can find this course, Your Life's Work, at thetransformationschool.com. In this course, we also cover all sorts of things, including the art and science of manifestation, which is a huge aspect of this workshop and the reason why people manifest so many things both in and out of their career when they take Your Life's Work. If you want to learn more, head over to thetransformationschool.com, or you can also look in the show notes to watch a free training on how to finally have a joyful career. If you like this episode, be sure to pass it along to someone else that you know would benefit from it too. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time.